So, MLS Cup playoff predictions. What do we think is going to happen over the course of the next month? Benny, what you got?
Can I not go first?
I'll go first. That's fine.
Awesome.
Okay, so we got FC Dallas and New Jersey Pink Cows. When they played this season, they played to a 2-2 draw in Harrison, New Jersey. And then
New Jersey won at Dallas.
Yes, at Pete Tutt Park. And I'm still not convinced that Dallas is back to where they were, and I think the Pink Cows are going to prevail 2-1. I think we're going to see a brace. As much as I hate that son of a bitch, Luke Rogers is going to score twice. And I say FC Dallas goal comes from Michael and Santos.
Okay.
I've got 2-1, actually, Dallas over the Red Bulls. Again, Dallas is a pretty good home team.
Breck Shea puts in 2 for Dallas and then 1 for New York just to make them feel better about themselves.
I think Dallas...
Because he's such a nice guy.
I think Dallas got their stuff in order near the end of the season. I mean, that last game, they got crushed by San Jose, but they didn't play. Like, they arrested everyone. In the previous four games, they won 2, which isn't, you know, the Dallas of...
It's
June, July, but I think Dallas...
It's going to be an interesting match.
It's going to be very good. It might be the best match of the entire playoffs, honestly. Because it's...
I have high hopes about the Seattle RSL matchup as well.
Mm-hmm. Seattle or RSL, LA is struggling.
Yeah.
We'll get there when we get to it.
LA.
Ben, what do you think?
I've got FC Dallas 3-1. For a couple of reasons. One, what is FC Dallas doing right now as we speak? Nothing. Nothing. Resting. Thank the Lord, because that's what they need. That's what Breck Shea needs. Breck's been overworked.
Well, if we're going with that, the last game that they played where they sent out their guy, they did not play the regular starters on Saturday.
That's why they lost.
But New Jersey. New Jersey Pink Cows.
I'm sticking to this.
They play in New Jersey. Fuck them. Okay. But their last match was on Thursday.
Yep.
So they're also having time to get some rest and get ready for the playoffs.
Correct. But I also...
But I do agree that FC Dallas, and in particular, Breck Shea, needs the rest more.
I perceive the Red Bulls to be a time bomb that could go off at any moment.
But it could go off either self-destruction or lots of goals.
Exactly.
That's why that potential match against Galaxy would just be very interesting.
I think FC Dallas just has enough quality to see them through.
I agree. The other playoff is the Rapids versus the Crew in a possible snowfield match.
The shitty weather is going to match the boringness of this match. And for good reason, it's the only match that will not be on the ESPN family of networks or FSC. If there was going to be one match, I think we all agree this would be the one that we'd want to miss.
Honestly, I see a chaotic affair here. I'm going to go 3-2 in extra time.
I do not see that at all.
I'm going to go 3-2 just for fun.
3-2 who?
Colorado at home. I think with the conditions, it could be kind of sloppy, and both of them have...
Play sloppy soccer.
I think their defense...
No, that's just MLS.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I think the defenses could be pretty leaky. So I see a 3-2 extra time victory for Rapids at home.
Well, just because of that weather and the cold, I think it's going to be 1-0 to Colorado. Marvell Wynn, he loves playing in the slot. This is his kind of game.
He should be playing football as a slot wide receiver.
Yeah, so Colorado 1-0 in an absolute ugly match that is going to be even made uglier by the fact that we all have to watch it via stream if we choose to.
Which we won't.
I will.
I will.
I might.
Regrettably.
Benny, what do you got?
I'm going to go with the Columbus Crew with a 2-1 victory.
And let's also go over how they went up against each other in the regular season. The home teams won by multiple goals. Columbus routed Colorado 4-1 at Crew Stadium. And Colorado beat Columbus 2-0 at home. So Colorado definitely, I think, is going to have the advantage here.
I don't know if the possible cold and snowy conditions give one team or another an edge.
They're both used to it.
Yeah, they're both used to it. But it does level a lot of things and makes things like pace, if you have it, very useful. So guys like Robbie Rogers might Marvel do something. Winning. Yep, Marvel win. Exactly. I think
just completely ignore like, center back and run straight down the field.
I like the Crew midfield more than I like the Rapids midfield as far as moving the ball, having a good touch, which if you're playing in the snow or with bad grass,
you trust a midfield with Robbie Rogers to have better ball control than a midfield?
I trust one with Gavin and Duca.
You trust a rookie or a sophomore?
I just trust him in general. He had a great goal in his last week, and we know he has a good touch.
I just believe with these conditions, first team to score is going to see it through.
It's going to be an ugly game.
Yeah. Man. All right, and then the semifinals, we're only going to go over the ones that we know are set. So in the East, we have Houston and Philly. Philly defeated Houston in their season opener 1-0 at Robertson Stadium. Danny Califf with the winner. But we'll pretend that that didn't happen.
It didn't.
And then Philadelphia and Houston drew 1-1 at PPL Park.
Okay.
I have Philadelphia advancing. You can call me a homer. I don't give a shit. They've never lost to Houston. They have 2 wins. They've won both matches at Robertson Stadium in their history and drawn both at home.
Yes.
And
what a large sample size. Four games.
All 4 matches.
Well, hey, it's the matches that have the rosters or the most stable.
There's been a lot of turnover the last 2 years in the entire league, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Which match is first? Is it at
Philly? Yeah, it's at Philly.
To open up?
The lower seed gets the first match.
The lower seed gets the first home game?
Yes.
Okay.
And I gave my playoff ticket to my sister. The Union have a great record this year when my sister goes to the matches. So I'm thinking the Union pull out a 1-0, 2-1 match and then draw in Houston. Yeah. So it's going to be tight.
Right.
I think Houston's blazing right now. They're both pretty good home teams. I've got a 1-1 draw for the first leg, and then Houston wins 2-1 in the second at Robertson. So that Houston moves on to face, I think, Sporting KC. But.
Benjamin?
I think we see a draw in the first leg, a 2-2 draw.
Ye have little faith in Lauren Moyer.
You think that...
I have little faith in superstition.
You think Philly's going to go up 2 goals at home?
I think that the Dynamo are blazing right now. And as you know, in the playoffs, it's what team is hot, not what's happened the entire season. Now, I will say that stadium is going to be rocking. It's going to be really, really hard to play there. But I believe a draw...
Thanks for making me remember what I'm going to be missing on Sunday.
Especially 2-2 draw. Dick. What are you missing on Sunday?
I could go to that.
Oh, oops. But a 2-2 draw at Philly would mean that they have to score...
2 goals.
2 goals in Houston.
Or win.
Which I don't think would happen. 2-1. So I think Houston would probably win 2-1 at home, and Houston would move on. Only because Houston is absolutely on fire. If there's a team right now who can score goals Philly...
It's Sporting Kansas City.
And Houston. But this matchup, by all means, is very, very close.
It was the hardest one for me to pick.
Okay, last one, Seattle, RSL.
Seattle is going to just obliterate RSL.
I'm predicting 4-0 when they're at CenturyLink.
Yeah, I have 3-1, 3-1 on the second leg, and then Seattle winning 2-1 on the first leg, so 5-1 on aggregate. Seattle is going to crush RSL. I don't think there's any way around it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting facts here. Seattle beat RSL 2-1 at Rio Tinto, and RSL beat Seattle 2-1 at CenturyLink Field. So the road teams won both matches.
Right now, RSL is reeling, Seattle is not.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be even a close matchup.
I think the first match at RSL will be a draw, and then I think Seattle win by 2 or 3 at home.
Yep. I've got Seattle drawing 1-1 and then a 4-0 shellacking.
RSL is very underrated at home. They are a bitch to burn
RSL
down. Said they have the best spine in MLS.
They do, however, they've been playing like crap.
Yeah.
That spine is RSL, in need of
who's
a back
been,
brace.
Who, okay, very quickly, in your opinion, who has been underperforming the most? Red Bulls or RSL?
The Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Think so?
Because RSL has been underperforming for like a month. Red Bulls have been doing it for like half a season.
And in terms of where they should be versus where they are, New York should...
RSL's where they should be, probably.
Juan Agudelo is coming off the bench for New York, so that should tell you about what their goal-scoring prowess should be.
Yeah, so New York, it's clearly New York.
Well, they do score goals if you, like, look it up. They just give up some, too.
And for having a back line with Rafa Márquez and Tim Ream, who are allegedly good.
Márquez has been shit this year.
Márquez has been a
good thing. He's a douchebag.
He's always been shit.
You touch Timmy Howard, I will fuck you up.
He's been pretty good in the midfield role. He's been terrible on the back line.
Which I don't know if that makes much sense to me, but...
It does to me.
How so? What's the difference?
I just think he's better suited for a defensive midfield role than he is at this point in his career.
Okay, so going forward, who wins the Eastern Conference and who wins the Western Conference? I say Eastern and Western because Western Conference teams can still get into the East Final and vice versa, so it's pretty stupid.
I've got LA facing Colorado after the play-in, and LA winning 4-2, and then Sporting KC taking a 2-0 second leg victory to get them past Dallas. In the conference championships, I've got LA 2-1 over Seattle. I think Sporting KC is too good to not win the East. I got 3-1 over Houston. So I've got a Sounders Sporting KC final.
I, too, have the Galaxy making their run. I also have a 2-1 victory over the Sounders. I think that might be the best match of the playoffs we see. But it is the conference championship. 2-1 there. I'm gonna say FC Dallas pulls one out of their wherever they're going to pull it out of and beat Sporting KC. I do like Sporting KC quite a bit. They have a great forward pool. It is a pool to work with. I mean, they have so many good forwards.
I love pools.
But I think FC Dallas takes that 3-2 on aggregate, and I have FC Dallas over Houston in the conference championship. I do love a Cinderella, so that's my Cinderella pick. But then once they meet LA in the final, LA is just going to dominate 3-1.
Okay. I have Pink Cows being Dallas, as I said, and Colorado being Columbus. I do see LA Galaxy moving on. I think it'll be tighter than people think because they have been playing better recently, the Pink Cows of New Jersey, who play in New Jersey, not New York. So why are they called New York?
So the New York, New Jersey Red Bulls.
The Metro Stars.
Okay. May
be known. So I have LA moving on. I have Seattle over RSL. Oh, God. Why can't Seattle-LA just be the final and just be done with it?
It is the final.
Oh, that's going to be such a great match.
I have Seattle 2-0 over KC in the championship. So.
I have LA just nipping by Seattle, so LA will be in the final. In the East, Philly just slipping past Houston, Kansas City getting by Colorado. Not that easily. I think Colorado can, has experience and can put up a fight to give them a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
Kansas City, I've beaten the Union by 2 goals. I think it'd be pretty comfortable.
Okay.
Sporting Kansas City, just not enough for LA, especially playing at Home Depot Center.
Yeah.
So I have LA.
Yeah, I think Seattle is going to pull the win at LA in the semifinals. I think I misspoke earlier. That's what I've got down here.
Oh, I can't wait for that match.
Like I said, LA should run through with no problem,
but they
which
won't.
Means they're not going to. So
they should have won the last 2 MLSs by that logic.
That's what they're not going to.
Exactly.
So I've got Seattle winning the MLS Cup this season.
So Seattle, LA.
LA.
LA. All right.
Moving into MLS 11s, I suppose I can take this one to go first to appease you.
And we'll have Benny go first for the team of the season.
Team of the season, MLS, in goal.
Is that Sexy Lexi on there?
No, that's not. I have Casey Keller in goal. Hartman would be the obvious choice. He's been excellent all season. But we see Casey Keller have, I believe he has 0.03 of a point more goals let in per 90 minutes. And additionally, he has 20-some-odd more saves than Kevin Hartman does. And also, I love Casey Keller. So
read us that back line, baby.
So touching.
Read that back line. yeah, I peeked at it.
What? I'm gonna get lambrasted, aren't I?
Not by me.
You're gonna get lambrasted. You're gonna get lambrasted.
Just say it.
Chance Myers? Sean Franklin?
Has what?
Right back.
So what's Myers playing?
Left back.
He's a right back.
We've gone over this. He can play both.
And, okay, just keep going.
And Omar Gonzalez, I think, is an obvious choice.
I agree.
So, am I getting lambrasted?
What's your... For what?
I really thought that
just
Chance
say
Myers,
it, just
I got
do
that
it.
Feeling.
That's not what I was talking about. You know damn well.
Why would Chance Myers get you lambasted?
Oh, crap. I am going to get... See, or I'm just afraid of this for no reason, and I'm not going to get... Okay, you know what? I'm doing a 4-1-2-1-2. So, at the defending midfield spot, Osvaldo Alonso.
What's your back line?
That is my back line.
Say it again.
Casey Keller, Chance Myers... Sean Franklin. Oh, crap. Danny Caleb. Okay.
That's fine. That's fine. Keep going.
Oh, my God.
All right. So
Danny Caleb, you are not allowed to come to the GBA.
Okay, so Franklin is on the right side, Myers on the left, with Gonzalez and Caleb in the middle.
That's fair.
And at my defending midfield spot, Osvaldo Alonso. I feel like that's fair. Attacking midfielder.
He sucks.
That's a straight up lie. That's just not true.
Yeah, I can't back that up.
At the attacking midfield spot, Deiro. He's been pretty stellar, regardless of how he got all of his goals. They've been pretty awesome. On one side, on either side of the midfield, however you want to slice it up, Brad Davis and Breck Shea. Now, Breck Shea, I know, may not have had the stats, but if you ask me for a game changer in MLS. If you give Breck Shea the ball at any time, he can do something magical with it. And then my two strikers, Chris Wondolowski, who I think Ryan's right should be the Golden Boot winner, and Freddie Montero, who's been stellar.
Interesting. I've got Nick Romano in goal. I think he's the best goalkeeper in MLS. That's all I have to say. I think it's Romano for me. His numbers might not be there, but I think his performances are there. Backline, I've got... left back, Todd Donovan. I think he's been the most consistent player on the best back line in the league. Center backs, Emerson Olave and Gonzalez. RSL has sputtered lately, but again, that spine is the best in the league. Right back, a lot of question marks, but I give it to Sheenan Williams. The holding mid spot, Ozzie Alonso, who might be the best player in the league overall, honestly. I'm actually playing a 3 or a 4-1-2-3 just for fun.
I also want to stop you just for a second. I changed my mind. I don't know if I said this last podcast. Osvaldo Alonso is my MVP for the season.
That's fair.
And also just to point out...
That's bullshit.
Although Ryan has his criticisms of Jurgen Klinsmann, he is playing the same formation in his MLS 11.
Basically, yeah.
Correct.
And then I've got Brad Davis and Beckham in that linking role. They're the best passers in the league, and they have the most assists to show for it. And then my top line, I've got Shea and Donovan on the wings, with Di Rosario leading the charge. I think it's a bit unconventional, but I think with that back line, that linking, and that top three, it's pretty solid.
Jurgen's been having the same thoughts about the U.S. national team.
But it's been pretty shitty.
but he's been wrong.
He's been wrong. My second team... I've got Hartman as the backup goalkeeper of the year. Back line of Gabe Farfan, Nat Borchers, Valdez, and Chance Myers. So pretty heavy Philly. I've got three Philly guys in my first two teams. I've got Beckerman in that holding role with Montero and Rosales pairing up to lead the link. And then Latou as the spearhead with Henry and Wando on the flanks. As my third goalkeeper, I almost gave it to a combined LA goalkeeper, combining Ricketts and Saunders to some bastard combination of the two, because the two together have put
some mulatto.
The two together have put up the best combined season. I think the reason that one of them isn't the keeper of the year is because the other one is there. Their stats, they're 1-2 for goals against average. They're 1-3 in save percentage, and they're 6th and 9th, I think, in shots despite playing half seasons each. And they combine for a sub-1 goal against average. But with them...
Stinks.
It's pretty crappy. With them splitting time, though, I gave it to Keller as the number 3. That's my 23 of the season.
Rob? Okay. I have...
Rob just listed everyone in the league.
I don't know. Starting 11, Kevin Hartman, goalie. Back line, Franklin, George John.
Really? George John?
Yes.
I just feel like after the transfer rumors, I just didn't feel as though he had it. He was the same guy.
I don't think George John had a good second half of the season. That's why I left him
alone. If he played the same way he did in the first half of the season as he did in the... if he played the same way that he did in the first half of the season in the second half of the season, he would be a consensus choice. But he didn't.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, staying on there. Todd Donovan, left back. Midfielder, it's the same as Benjamin's. I have Brad Davis, D-Row in the attacking mid role. Ozzy, defensive mid. Breck Shea, left mid, and then up top.
You got Davis playing right mid?
Yeah.
Left-footed player.
He's the best left-footer in the game, and he does
for all MLS damage. Anyway.
Can I switch them around then?
Yeah.
Yep.
That would make sense.
Right, that works.
Okay, then we're doing that. And then up top, I have Freddie Montero and Sebastian Letou.
I just think Freddie was too inconsistent, as he always has been.
Also true. You didn't have Wando in your first 11, did you?
He was in my second 11.
How does... I always just thought that the Golden Boot winner, or rightful Golden Boot winner, if you ask me, I feel like what a striker gets judged on is how many goals he scores.
I just don't think...
He didn't have Montero's problem, which was scoring two and then not scoring any. He was consistent.
My thing with Wando is he was the only person that they could rely on, so his numbers are going to be higher as it was.
I'm surprised he got as many goals as he did with San Jose's lack of anything.
Wouldn't you like to see what he could do on a team like Galaxy?
I would love to see what I'd be afraid of that. He'd hit the 20-goal mark. He'd break the 20-goal mark for the first time in a decade.
Let's have a fun MLS conversation real quick.
Well, I'm not done.
Oh, come on.
Okay, my bench, I have Rosales, who any other year would probably be in the MLS 11.
If he played a full season.
Just ridiculous. Doesn't matter. Just ridiculous. Casey Keller, Thierry Henry.
Fuck that guy.
David Beckham. Alvaro Fernandez, number one on the Castrol Index, which means it's got to be true.
Yep.
Kyle Beckerman, Nat Borchers.
Is the Castrol Index
the
BCS of MLS?
It's less relevant because it's player ratings and it doesn't factor for anything.
It's even less relevant.
Okay, and then honorable mention, guys who just need shout-outs. Jack Jewsbury.
Okay.
Almost led Portland incredibly to the playoffs. Jeff Loreno, Big Red, that dude for the Rapids who's been pissing us off by playing for the national team. Olave, Carlos Valdez, Union, very stingy defense despite being paired up with Danny Califf. Nick Raimondo, Odoro, Andres Mendoza scoring all the goals for Columbus. Lynn Pair, Sheenan Williams, Wando, the Golden Boot winner, kind of.
Ish.
Kai Kamara, Camilo, really, Hosley gets all the praise, I feel like, just because of the one goal in Seattle, but that's bullshit.
Vancouver should be a lot better than they are.
They really should be.
I mean, they got Camilo, they got Kumiento as well.
De La Garza.
Their backline sucks, though. So.
Jeff Cameron and Pierce. Jeff Cameron. Should we see Jeff Cameron at center back for the U.S.?
I'd like to see anyone who can play center back.
He needs to get a position.
He's way too all over the place. I agree with that, too. All right, what do we have next?
We got the Wisconsin soccer update, and we'll get this bad boy up.
MLS supporter rankings.
Next week. Benny's not ready for it.
Oh, God damn it.
What?
Benny's not ready next week.
Edit?
Yes. We're running at like half this whole shit. So we got to edit it out.
This podcast as it stands right now is actually 2 hours long. So however it is by the time you guys get it.
It'll be about an hour and a half. We got the quick Wisconsin soccer update. Demerit closed the season with a 1-0 loss at Colorado. Or sorry, 2-1 loss. Read that backwards. Tim Ward still doesn't play soccer, so he ended the season with the reserves. Chuck Kozlowskis gets 90 minutes again for Hellman Sport in their 2-2 draw with Fortuna Sittard. And Matt Podrowski and Angoulême had a crushing end of the season. They were seconds away from automatic promotion when Hammerby scored the match winner in the 95th minute to guarantee them survival in the second division, which means that Angoulême will have to play.
Hammerby's in the second division?
They probably stayed up. They almost got relegated.
They missed Chuck Easy.
Significantly. Which means Angoulême will be facing Syrianska on Thursday and Saturday for the last spot next season's Alvesken. Yeah, Podrowski put up a great season, played every minute of this season in goal with a 1-3-3 goal against and 8 shutouts.
Not that big of a deal.
So hopefully we'll have one more goalkeeper in the top division come this weekend.
All right, so Yank of the Week.
Quick wrap, Yank of the Week. Benny, what you got?
Chris Rolfe. I think it's cool that he's scoring again. He fell off the radar screen there for a little while, as a few of the MLS guys do when they go abroad, especially in Scandinavia. I'm just glad to see him back on the score sheet.
I have Chris Rolfe as well. 2 goals against Odense. Odense is a good Danish club as well. Yeah. Nearly knocked out Villarreal for Champions League.
Actually, you know what? I changed that. Terrence Boyd making the bench for Dortmund, an American striker.
He got on the bench, Yank of the Week.
Hey, it's a step in the right direction in a big way. It's not, I mean, it's not exactly easy to make the bench for
the reigning German champions.
The reigning German champions, so.
Well, my Yank of the Week actually goes to 8-year-old Jack McBean. 8-year-old Jack McBean.
18. Or, he's 17.
You both suck. You both changed your
answers. He's 17, isn't he?
He's 16.
Oh, he's still 16?
He's still 16. Yeah, I had a 3-way between Rolfe. It was between Rolfe, Gomez, and Buttle. Rolfe, Gomez, Buttle, and McBean. And just, I think the fact that he is the young McBride. I mean, he played a pretty solid game. And it's cool having, you know, a 16-year-old U.S. youth international getting his first goal with his first appearance with his team.
Piss off, Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland want him, but they can't have him!
William Walsh.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone. We hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll see you next Monday.
See ya.
I'm sorry.